Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. As personal taunts increasingly drown out discussion about substantive issues in the ramp-up to Super Tuesday presidential primaries, let's look at the legacy of dirty tricks tactics with New York University history professor Jonathan Zimmerman. Jonathan, welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight.
Good to be here as always.
Jonathan, seems like there is an inherent tension. Voters, of course, want to learn about the candidate's character and stance on the problems and challenges facing the nation. Candidates, well, they want to win, often by diverting attention from their past statements and voting record. So what qualifies as a dirty trick, and when did it first gain traction in campaigns?
Well, I think a dirty trick is somehow a tactic that's underhanded or involves subterfuge. And we've had a couple examples recently from the Ted Cruz campaign. In one example, he had staffers call people in Iowa and tell them that Ben Carson, another GOP candidate, was dropping out, which he wasn't. And then his campaign also circulated a video in which Marco Rubio, another GOP candidate, seemed to say to somebody on the campaign trail that the Bible doesn't have all the answers. In fact, he was saying the opposite, that it does. But the point is, there would be no reason for Rubio, especially at this moment, to say something like that about the Bible. He almost surely didn't. And it was underhanded of Cruz's operatives to send that around. And indeed, Cruz admitted so and fired his communication director for it.
Where, though, on the ranking does that lie in comparison to telling semi-truths or outright lies?
Well, look, there's a long history of that as well. And often those semi-truths and outright lies are told via, again, an operative, somebody down the chain, not by the candidate. So a very good example is Franklin Roosevelt, who actually instructed his staff to spread rumors about extramarital affairs involving Wendell Willkie, his challenger in 1940. Now, this is ironic for a million reasons, one of which is that, of course, Roosevelt had his own longstanding extramarital affair. But it's interesting, Roosevelt was already recording himself in the Oval Office at that time. This is 1940. And he says quite explicitly on one of these tapes, look, spread this rumor, but make sure it's spread by somebody way, way down the feeding chain, because we don't want anyone to accuse us, that is people in our inner circle, of spreading this idea.
I'm wondering, though, through time, is the practice becoming more prevalent? And paradoxically, with the advent of internet and organizations like Fact Check and Committee of 70, you might think a candidate could get caught earlier and sooner.
Well, I think that's what happened in the case of Cruz in this video. You know, they picked it up, ironically, from the Daily Pennsylvanian, from Penn's student newspaper, which had first posted it on the net. And without the internet, we would have never had this Marco Rubio video controversy because nobody would have seen it. I also think that in earlier eras, there were actual specialists in dirty tricks pre-internet, you know, people who came up with them in very creative ways. The Democrats' most famous dirty trickster was a guy named Dick Tuck, who was a Californian and very much a thorn in the side of another Dick, i.e. Dick Nixon. And Tuck planted all kinds of, in retrospect, rather humorous tricks against Nixon. In 1960, when Nixon was running for president against JFK, Dick Tuck himself posed as a train conductor during one of Nixon's whistle stop tours. And as the conductor, before Nixon could address the crowd, the train had stopped, he said to the engineer, okay, let's move on out. And they just left the crowd there, because everyone thought Dick Tuck was a conductor and it was time to leave. Then in 1972, when Nixon is running for re-election at the GOP convention in Miami, Dick Tuck actually paid a group of pregnant women to march outside the convention holding a sign that said Nixon's campaign slogan, which was, Nixon's the one. Nixon, of course, who never forgot a slight, in his memoirs actually complained bitterly about Dick Tuck, because he said that when Dick Tuck planted a dirty trick, it was a prank, it was a joke. But when we did it, it was a dirty trick. And in fact, Nixon instructed his staff to find somebody with what he called Dick Tuck capability, that is, our own Dick Tuck. And they found a guy named Donald Segretti. And Segretti would eventually do time, 4 months in prison, because his dirty tricks, unlike Dick Tuck's, were actually illegal. So he stole stationery from the Muskie campaign. This would be Edmund Muskie, a Democratic candidate for president, and forged a letter from Muskie accusing Scoop Jackson, another Democratic candidate, of fathering a child out of wedlock with a 17-year-old girl. He also forged a letter, again on Muskie stationery, in which Muskie allegedly used the slur Canuck to describe a Canadian. And of course, Muskie's from Maine. It borders Canada. This was a rather serious thing among his constituencies and probably played a role in Muskie dropping out of the campaign. So Donald Segretti was Nixon's Dick Tuck, if you will. But he also went beyond Dick Tuck and actually broke the law, which is why he ended up in jail.
And clearly, when dirty tricks rise to the level of crimes and misdemeanors, well, then one must pay. But when it's merely a slur, and especially in the 2016 campaign, does it stick to the candidate?
Yeah, well, look, maybe not. I mean, in this era of Trump, we find the candidates themselves slurring slurs constantly at each other. And perhaps the kind of thing that Muskie said, you know, 40 years ago, which contributed to him leaving the campaign, maybe it wouldn't stick now because these things get circulated so rapidly and so broadly that perhaps we're kind of inured to them.
Does it go in waves in history, or is Kasich, for example, increasingly quaint?
Well, I would say that the most important wave is that pre-Nixon, dirty tricks were bipartisan, or perhaps you could say even dominated by the Democrats. But I would say since Nixon, and especially since Karl Rove, that the GOP has been the front runner when it comes to dirty tricks. And Rove himself is a rather seminal figure here. Rove met Donald Segretti, the Nixon dirty trickster, when Rove was 21 years old. But by then, Rove had already become a trickster in his own right. He had used a fake ID to break into a Democratic headquarters in Illinois, stole a piece of stationery, forged a flyer. He'd already gone down that road. But in some ways, some people think, inspired by Segretti, he went even farther. So in each, remember, Rove was an advisor of both Bushes. And in all of the Bush campaigns, Rove planted extremely ugly rumors, which were circulated again through other parties, so they couldn't be traced back to the candidate. So in 1988, when Bush Sr. is running against Dukakis, Rove floats the rumor that Dukakis was mentally unstable. In 94, when Bush Jr. is running against Ann Richards for the governor of Texas, Rove floats the rumor that Richards was lesbian. And then, of course, in 2000, when Bush Jr., running for president now, faces a very serious challenge in South Carolina in the primaries from John McCain, Rove, via his operative, circulates this rumor that McCain had fathered a child out of wedlock with an African-American woman. And in fact, McCain and his wife, wife number two, had adopted a daughter from Bangladesh. All of this was in some way the handiwork of Karl Rove.
Have studies emerged determining whether dirty tricks are likely to succeed or backfire?
To me, the larger point is what's dirty and isn't is in some ways in the eye of the beholder. So when, you know, when Dick Tuck posed as a conductor and made the Nixon train leave early, I think to a lot of people watching, especially Democrats and even some Republicans, this was more of a prank than a dirty joke. I think that when Cruz had his staffers tell people that Carson had withdrawn when he hadn't, I think that because that was more explicitly dishonest and also in a way more targeted towards the election itself, you know, who's running and who isn't, I think probably a lot of people interpreted it as perhaps dirtier than funny. But I think that a lot of that is in the eye of the beholder and the listener.
Ironic, during the most recent Republican presidential debate, amid the cacophony, here was Ben Carson plaintively asking, will somebody start an argument with me?
Yes, won't somebody attack me? Which is fascinating and says a great deal about the way that politics, especially on the Republican side, is working right now, you know, as a series of serial attacks. One way of thinking about dirty tricks are a kind of underhanded attack. But perhaps in this era, the distinction between what's underhanded and overhanded is getting blurred.
It's probably all a slider.
Indeed.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was fun.
New York University history professor Jonathan Zimmerman on Newsworks Tonight.